Well, his family was also talking about there. Today is the second day of a dialogue between the United States and China, a dialogue that's been going on for some time. But here in Washington, D.C., it's part of a two-day meeting. Here's the president speaking yesterday about the importance of the American and Chinese economic relationship.
As Americans save more and Chinese are able to spend more, we can put growth on a more sustainable foundation. Because just as China has benefited from substantial investment and profitable exports, China can also be an enormous market for American goods.
But is there balance between the United States and China, economically speaking? One of the key Obama administration officials at this meeting in Washington, D.C. is Ron Kirk, the president's U.S. trade representative. He joins us now. Representative Kirk, thanks for being a part of The Takeaway.
Thank you, John, for having me.
Ron Kirk, is this relationship balanced or is it fundamentally imbalanced at this point in time?
Well, it's one we can improve on. I can leave it up to your judgment to determine whether it's balanced or fundamentally imbalanced. Well, let me say this. It is not fundamentally imbalanced in that there is so much room and so much extraordinary potential as China develops a true broad-based consumer-driven economy that the opportunities there for Americans exporters, particularly in the goods and services sector, is what holds such promise for us. So it's a relationship that holds great promise for both sides of the business equation, Chinese and Americans.
Economists around the world say that the only significant lever in China that would improve the status and the ability of the United States to sell inside China, to improve our export sales in China, is a flexible yuan. And it appears as though the Obama administration is going to sidestep that issue in these talks. Wouldn't it be better to focus on that issue rather than have much more serious conflict later on out?
Well, we have folks. I mean, part of the rationale behind President Obama and President Hu agreeing at the summit in which they previously met in London was to establish strategic and economic dialogue chaired by Secretaries Geithner and Secretary Clinton so that we could have more candid, high-level discussions. And in his presentations yesterday, Secretary Geithner, Chairman Bernanke with the Federal Reserve Board, a number of us in the economic sector talked about a broad range of issues. And I know that Secretary Geithner has discussed the currency valuation issue as well. But on the U.S. side, I would say to you, one of the things that we can do to help strengthen not only U.S. exporters, but every business in America is to pass the president's health care reform. If we can take 25% to 30%, you know, much less the 50% goal I think the administration has. If we can reduce our health care costs, that would be an extraordinary boost to all American manufacturers and
right.
exports.
Although I think economists would also say that setting a timetable for a flexible Chinese currency would also have extraordinary benefits to U.S. businesses. And we're not doing that.
Either would be good, but that's a call that President Obama and Secretary Geithner will make.
Which is more important at these talks, the $200 billion of debt that the Treasury wants to sell in terms of Treasury notes that mostly the Chinese are going to be taking on, or is it the $200 billion trade deficit that falls maybe more on your desk?
Well, the most important part of these talks, frankly, John, is relationship building. China is a country with almost 1.3 billion people, still 800 million or so locked out of the world's sort of economic system. And as China develops into a more broad-based economy, there's no question they're going to be an extraordinary world economic power, but also potentially the greatest market for America's goods,
right.
services, exports. And so that relationship is going to evolve over time. China's only been a member of the WTO for 8 years. So we are really in the beginning of this relationship.
Well, I wonder about that. I mean, Nixon went to China a generation ago. When does the relation building stop and serious economic change begin? Because to a lot of people, it looks as though the Chinese are buying for time, and that only favors them.
Well, Nixon began to open that door. It was almost 30 years later until China made the decision and accepted the invitation to join the World Trade Organization. That was a huge step in the progression, and not just China's relationship with the U.S., but all of the rest of the world, and particularly China committing to participate in a rules-based global trading
system. I don't think we have 30 more years, though. I don't know if we have 30 more years.
Well, John, one of the refreshing things about this relationship is the wonderful American perspective in which we're trying to squeeze time down to a nanosecond, and the reality that we have a partner sitting across the table that measures time in dynasties. And, I can appreciate your sense of anxiety. We all have that. But the reality is China has an extraordinary amount of work to do to move from essentially a state-based run and managed economy to a free market economy. And there are going to be bumps along the road. But the important part of not only this dialogue, as well as the joint commerce and trade dialogue that Secretary Gary Locke and I will chair in China later this fall, is to have a forum to begin to work through some of those relationships. And they're not all going to be solved in one meeting or two. It takes time.
Understood. Well, U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk, tough questions for you, but thanks so much for your candor here on The Takeaway.
John, thank you and appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
Ron Kirk is President Barack Obama's U.S. Trade Representative in the U.S.-China talks in Washington.